In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
There we are. Well, Big Zay, you were there. You saw it. You had unfolded in front of you. Do you believe that that Matt Eberflus might have been a little down? Do you think he wasn't as his usual peppy and bubbly self? Did you see a difference in him yesterday, as some people are claiming they saw?
I mean, I think if people were watching, there was a difference the week before, right? When he had to fire Shane Waldron and after they sleptwalked through the Patriots game. I don't think this was anything new yesterday. You know, it's the NFL, it's professional sports, and when things aren't going your way, that can make it a little bit more difficult to get through the day.
So, all right, let's cut to the chase. Your mailbag in ChicagoTribune.com has a headline: how many wins does Matt Eberflus need to save his job? What's your best guess?
Well, I think, first of all, the way I answer that question is I think it's a lot more nuanced than just putting a number on it, right? I don't think anyone that's making decisions like this with really any team in any season has a hard and fast number in mind, right? What you're looking at is what direction is the program headed in? Are we meeting expectations? Are we getting better? What's the trajectory of the organization at the end of the season? What was the, you know, how were things trending in the second half of the season? And all of that's very subjective, much more so than just throwing a number on it. But I think it was realistic to expect or hope that this team could be better than the one a year ago. And that being said, the schedule's a lot more difficult than it was last season, and he's facing an uphill climb to get to, above 500. Like, I don't know that going from 7-10 to 8-9 does it, but if they play really good the next 7 weeks to get to 8-9, maybe there's a discussion, but there's a lot that adds up against him right now. Coaching staff turnover, the failure of the team to close out games in the fourth quarter. That stuff's going to weigh heavy unless they start playing really good football.
It's going to be difficult if DeAndre Swift can't go, you know, obviously, and you wrote about it in the Tribune. You got to be able to run against this team, and the best thing they do is they stop the run, but you got to be able to get balance to your offense. You can't be as predictable as the Bears get when they fall behind and then they have to throw. I just think that it's almost like the last injury you need going into a game like that. And you know, Matt Eberflus said there's a good chance that you won't see him practice again today, but it's sort of a day-to-day situation. Maybe he'll be okay by Sunday.
Yeah, my main takeaway from what he said, he sounded relatively positive. Like there was a decent chance here that that he'll be out there. So maybe not today, but this didn't sound like they were overly concerned as you point ahead to the ball game on Sunday. We'll learn a little bit more later today, certainly a lot more tomorrow. Yeah, he came out of the game. Everything appeared fine. So if I was guessing right now, it would be that there's a decent chance Swift is going to be able to give it a go on Sunday.
Montez Sweat was not on the injury report. Is that the good news or the bad news?
Yeah, I mean, they need more. That's a great question. They need more production from him. But if you're out there, if you're playing and you've got something, you've still got to produce, right? Like it's professional football, and 3.5 sacks and 7 quarterback hits to this point, and you would be hoping to see more from him. I don't know that he's been the multiplier that they had hoped, at least in the last, month plus. They got after the quarterback pretty well at the start of the season, but of late, especially in the last 4 games, it's been, I think, sporadic at best.
Brad, we know the injury list included Elijah Hicks and that they signed another safety. We know they brought in 5 guys for tryouts. I'm just wondering, when you look at where they are at with that position, how does a move to potentially a third-string safety impact what they can do defensively? I mean, obviously, it has an impact, and they got one of the best playmakers in the league at the wide receiver position in Jefferson. So it's just a wrong game to have issues like that kind of come up.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to get down to your third guy, and they've at least covered themselves with a veteran on the practice squad in Adrian Colbert. But Jonathan Owens has played a decent amount of football in his career, and he'd be next up for Elijah Hicks. They didn't really rule Hicks out yesterday, but I'd be a little surprised if he goes on Sunday. I'll say this much. If Elijah Hicks is out there against the Vikings, he's probably unlikely to be 100%. Safety, I guess there's – it's not the worst position in the world to be down a little bit at. And again, they've got some guys with experience there. So that's not going to be an excuse. They got to go out and do a really nice job against Justin Jefferson, against Sam Darnold, and find a way to stay in this ballgame. They've got to be able to provide a couple instances of really premium field position for their offense. I'm talking about the Bears defense. So, this is a huge matchup for them, and I think it's going to be a physical game. I think it sets up as one of those really hard hitting games, and it's going to be up to the Bears to answer the call to make it entertaining.
Could it be a decent matchup for the defense? Because you look at the Viking running game; it's really suffered without Darisaw, and you have Aaron Jones, who doesn't have 100-yard rushing output since week 3. And if the Bears can make the Vikings one-dimensional, maybe you can come after Sam Darnold. Maybe he can be the guy that throws you the ball under pressure. I don't know, Brad, but a team that doesn't run the ball well against a defense that doesn't stop the run well, seems like the Bears may be in a better situation this week than maybe some weeks.
Yeah, and they played that defense played pretty well against the Packers, all things considered. You don't want to give up that drive at the end, but you look at the way that they got a red zone takeaway, that they got some stops in that game. I thought the run defense against the Packers after the opening possession was pretty solid. When, again, you got to look at the personnel and look at things realistically, right? They don't have superior talent in the interior there. So, yeah, I think that's the formula for victory, right? Is play good defense, play good special teams, and you know, hope that your offense can make some plays. That is their formula, and when they've executed it, it's looked pretty good at times, but they just haven't been able to have all three of them clicking at the same time in some of these games and the key breakdowns that we've been over over and over again.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. The king of the cover zero blitz was the way that the quarterback, Caleb Williams, referred to Brian Flores. How difficult he, you know, he ran over the game plan of what they need to do. You know, you got to be able to pick everything up. You got to have a plan for it. You got to get the ball to your playmakers. I mean, you know, we kind of understand all of that. How will the challenge be different this week versus last week versus really any week with the 3-4 defense coming from so many different places?
Yeah, the challenge here is the Vikings do so much that they kind of try to screw you up with your rules, with your assignments, with your rules up front in the trenches. And that's both in pass blocking and in run blocking. Like we talk about the blitzing that they do, and they've been successful. They've got three outside linebackers with seven or more sacks right now. They've got 35 sacks. I think they're tied for the third most in the league. But they run blitz a lot too. So they are sending guys through gaps, and you don't know where they're coming from at all times. So the Bears talked about having some answers for all the looks they're seeing, but that they're simple answers, ones that can be identified, everyone's on the same page, and be effective. You know, you saw it last year, the first snap of the game when that Brian Flores defense came in, they sent six guys. Justin Fields wasn't aware, and he wears it on his back when DJ Wonnum clobbers him from behind. So they need to be aware. They need to be prepared, and they're probably going to see some stuff that maybe Minnesota hasn't shown since, you know, week 3 or 4, right? Like it's new stuff every week, and it's challenging for a 6-year veteran at quarterback, and it's probably more challenging for a rookie at quarterback, and we know some of the issues that they've had on the offensive line. You know, they've talked about Coleman Shelton, the center, and the improvement in terms of communication with Caleb, and they seem like they're getting on the same page, so it will be interesting to see. Tevin Jenkins' return to practice yesterday is limited, so they have a shot to get the left guard back in the mix, and they can use all the help they could get.
So, Brad, I think everyone would like to look ahead and not back, and this is why having coordinators speak on a Thursday is kind of a bad idea. But Richard Hightower will be available today, and he'll be asked time and again about the final sequence, the field goal block, the hash, where Cairo Santos wanted the ball, what the wind was doing, etc. What do you expect to hear from Richard Hightower today?
You know, if I'm Richard Hightower, the script I'm sticking to is responsibility lies with me. I'm the coach, and we have to block that better. We've got to block that better. Maybe the kick needs to be a little bit higher, but the biggest story there is the failure for them to block in a situation when you know you've got an all-out rush coming. Like, teams don't roll out their Cadillac kick block plan generally in the first or second quarter. You might not see it in the third quarter. You might not see it at all during the game. You might see it on an extra point in the fourth quarter. With the final play of the game, you're going to get their A move, right? You are going to get their best, and the Bears were sadly unprepared for it. And so I think that's what Hightower would – if I'm sitting there, that's what I'm talking about, that as a coach, I didn't have the guys as well prepared as they needed to be.
Why Colin Johnson added to the roster, and I know he's still on the roster, but whatever happened to Tyler Scott? We haven't seen him at all this year.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Johnson's a guy who you see these moves at a position like wide receiver where they've got three frontline guys.
Yeah.
And that leads me to believe that there's probably some level of special teams involved with the move. You know, Tyler Scott is a smaller frame guy, so it's probably not going to be involved on some of your coverage things. Maybe not, obviously not on punt as well. And Johnson's a bigger frame guy who can run. And that's what a move like that, you know, like, no, he's not going to become this X receiver in the game with the talent that they have at that position right now.
They got enough guys they can't get the ball to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you look at it and you say, okay, well, what's the situation here? Well, Tre'Varius Moore has a concussion. He's a safety that's on the 53-man roster. He's working through the protocol. You had Hicks go out, who had been a core special teams player before he started starting. And you've had Owens, who's been a core special teams guy, who probably slides into Hicks' spot this week. So Owens isn't going to be as involved on special teams. So Johnson's a guy that, you know, could immediately figure into some of those slots.
So, Brad, obviously with so much focus on the head coaching speculation around the league and in Chicago, Brian Flores coming to town as a former head coach who'd had some success and ended loudly in Miami for a lot of different reasons. Do you consider him a viable head coaching candidate on the next sort of carousel? And would he be somebody, if the Bears' job does open, you think they should talk to?
Yeah, I think he's a viable guy. Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fantastic defensive coordinator. I know he is. If you're going to get with him, I think you're going to talk to him about vision, what he sees, what his plan would be, and then I think that naturally you're going to have questions about, okay, what did you learn the first time you had an opportunity, right? How have you evolved? What would you do differently? And I think you want to see if you can come away convinced, and you're probably doing research of your own separate of that conversation, but has the guy evolved? Is he going to be able to handle the big chair again? You know, he can be a top flight coordinator, and what he's done the past couple of years in Minnesota, the personnel's gotten a little bit better there, no question about it, but it's fantastic what they've been able to do. So I think he'd be a candidate for, every team that's got an opening, unless somebody's, pigeonholed themselves into, we're only looking at offensive guys or we're only looking at this. He seems to be in a good spot otherwise.
Well, he still has a couple of lawsuits pending. Against
yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's the, behind closed doors, yeah. Where there's more closed doors and a couple more closed doors, where's ownership league-wide? I'm talking about the you know, everywhere they at on that, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he'll be of interest to at least a handful of teams that have openings, but that's an assumption I'm making.
I mean, he should be, but then again, you never know.
Right. Well, I mean, with these lawsuits, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Great stuff, Big Z. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.